This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's community access radio station Plains FM 96.9 and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
They used to be regular guests in our homes anytime we chose, entertaining us when we switched on our radio and television sets. Now it's time to hear again the voices that came out of the glow. Good afternoon. We're pleased to be in your home again and playing items you've not heard for a year or two, to say the least. That includes these two themes from the smaller screen, the one in the lounge corner. One introduced the Western, the High Chaparral, and the other, Dr. Kildare. This is Paul F. and your panellist is Steve Price. We're presenting Out of the Glow, vintage radio and TV fare, like those two theme tunes from Dr. Kildare and High Chaparral.
Vignettes of life. Stories of people and the way they live. We present Confessions. A holiday hotel, and the boy and girl have just arrived on their honeymoon.
I think it's a wonderful thought, darling, to bring me here for our honeymoon. The very place we first met.
That's why. You remember how we did first meet?
Let me see.
Here, look at this.
Mm-hmm.
You know what it is?
A crumpled up piece of paper.
It's the note you slipped under my door over 12 months ago. You remember writing this? Dear man, meet me at the summer house in the garden at 10 o'clock tonight.
I'll never forget it.
I'm going to make a confession, darling, and tell you the story of that note.
What must you have thought of me?
I was so shy and nervous and certainly not good-looking, and I didn't have much money. And I wouldn't have spoken to a girl for all the tea in China.
Oh, now we're married. I hope you still won't speak to a girl for all the tea in China.
I promise. You were easily the most beautiful girl here. I'd heard you were pretty wealthy, and if it hadn't have been for that note that you slipped under my door, I probably would have gone away and never seen you again.
Why? Didn't you like me?
I'd never spoken to you to find out if I did or not. Other fellows better off than I and much better looking who knew their way around were hanging around you like flies. I wasn't any good at all with girls.
Well, then you did very well with me that night in the summer house.
Well, that's the story. I really made love to you under false pretenses.
Oh?
Yes, when I found that note under my door and I didn't have the slightest idea who wrote it. Anyhow, it not only surprised me, it thrilled me, so I decided to go to the summer house at 10 o'clock and see what girl had taken an interest in me.
And it was poor little me?
I got the shock of my life. I didn't say anything, remember? I just showed you the note and you nodded, remember?
And then without another word, you sort of grabbed me and kissed me.
I had to do something like that or faint. I couldn't bring myself to speak.
Well, I must say you surprised me a bit too. But I enjoyed it.
I think it was about 1 o'clock when we went in.
It was.
And from then on, I was a different man. To think that you could notice me, that I could kiss you. Gee, it gave me confidence. Everything.
Didn't you think it was, well, forward of me?
I don't know. I didn't think about it. I only know I became a different man. I thought if you singled me out of all that bunch, I must have something.
You certainly do have something.
Thanks to that note. Well, that's about all. You don't know how superior I felt next morning when I came down. You were talking to some actor chappie. He was pretty good looking, too, but I felt on top of the world.
Oh, that was Derek. I think he was in love with me.
Well, let me catch him being in love with you now, or anyone else for that matter. Anyhow, darling, that's my confession.
Well, I think it's a very nice one. But haven't you anything more shocking? You must have had some sort of a grisly past.
No, none at all. In fact, I never even kissed a girl until I kissed you that night in the summer house.
Well, I'm a bit disappointed if that's your only confession. But I suppose I should be glad. But, darling, I've got something to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I got the wrong door that night. That note was meant for Derek.
Out of the Glow is about melodies and moments from broadcasting history.
Ohio River, the Stoned Ranger.
This is Paul Featherstone, inviting you to tune to an hour of comedy, featured artists, personalities and sports coverage on Plains FM 96.9. The first two Sundays of the month at 5 p.m.
There's the dropout by Oxley. It won't go over the 25. He's trying to kick it along the line.
How's it all going? Les McPherson in Ashburton. For you, We have a couple of items from Sandy Powell, who had a program carried by Radio Luxembourg in 1939, Around the World with Sandy Powell. And as you know, Les, he was particularly noted as one of Britain's finest pantomime comedians, and for his summer seaside shows. You could make a tongue twister out of that, I'm sure. ain't it grand to be in the Navy? And Sandy goes to sea.
Grand to be in the Navy, one of the lads in navy blue. Oh, for a life on the ocean wavy, 'cause in the Navy you get the gravy. We love to do our duty for England, home and beauty, especially beauty. Oh, ain't it grand to be in the Navy, one of the lads in navy blue. The minute I saw the Navy, I wanted to go to sea to sail a ship, a lovely ship. The minute the Navy saw me, the Navy wanted me, they had the ship, a battleship. And now a thousand sailors start to swing when the Admiral and I begin to sing. Oh, ain't it grand to be in the Navy, one of the lads in Navy blue. For a life on the ocean wavy, 'cause in the Navy we get the gravy. We love to do our duty for England, home and beauty, especially beauty. Oh, ain't it grand to be in the Navy, one of the lads in navy blue. I saw the captain and I were pals. I liked his ship, his battleship. As soon as the captain saw me, he let me join his crew and take a trip on board his ship. And now today, when anything goes wrong, you can always hear me sing this little song. Oh, ain't it grand to be in the Navy, one of the lads in navy blue. For a life on the ocean wavy, 'cause in the Navy you get the gravy. We love to do our duty for England, home and beauty, especially beauty. Oh, ain't it grand to be in the Navy, one of the lads in navy blue.
I'm in a mess. Here I am on board a ship, no money, the wife doesn't know where I am, and I don't know where I'm going. I am in a mess.
Here, you, where's your ticket?
Ticket? I haven't got one.
What are you doing on board then?
Well, I was having a look round downstairs, and when I came up, the boat had started.
Very nice, too. You know you're a stowaway. You can be put in irons for that, but I'll give you a chance. You can work your passage. Have you worked your passage before?
Yes, I was once a stowaway on a coal barge going from Attercliffe to Newcastle.
Oh, and what happened?
I worked my passage. I pulled the barge all the way.
Well, I'll be more lenient than that.
Thank you, Admiral.
Don't call me Admiral.
Sorry.
Now listen, we get up at 6 a.m.
Oh, you'll not disturb me.
Won't we? You'll be surprised. First of all, you'll peel 1/2 ton of potatoes, scrub the main deck, sweep all the cabins out, make 80 beds, dust the funnel, and wash all the dishes. Now, when you've had your breakfast...
Yes, shall I move the snow as well off the deck?
Snow? This is the middle of summer.
Aye, but it'll be the middle of winter when I finish what you've set me to do.
Stand by, everybody, for fire drill.
Are we going to have a fire?
No, it's just in case of accidents.
Why, isn't this ship safe, then?
Well, you see, there are always little things crop up. You might be blown up, strike a rock, run into a gale, or even shipwreck. Apart from that, you're as safe as houses.
It's nice to know you've got a chance, isn't it? I hope this boat doesn't let water in.
Stand by for fire drill. You there, stand by the capstans. You know what capstans are, don't you?
Yes, 10 for 6.
Here, don't you get fresh with me, my lad, or I'll put you where I can find you.
Who are you, then?
I'm the mate.
Whose mate?
The captain's.
Well, you're no mate of mine, I know that.
Well, get your lifebelt on and stop talking.
Stop talking, lads, be quiet.
Lads? It's you I'm talking to. Get your lifebelt on.
Now, we're going to have discipline on this ship. Remember, discipline holds the men of Britain together. Now, you look after the ship's stays.
The what?
The stays. You know what stays are, don't you?
Yes, the things that hold the women of Britain together.
Now, when the order is given to man the boats, remember, women and children first. Now, you know your position?
Yes, first man in the first boat.
Yes, and you're likely to be shot. Mm. You know which direction we're going in?
Yes, west. It's getting a bit rough, isn't it? I feel poorly.
Yes, we're in for a squall. Now get to your cabin.
Oh, I do feel queer. Oh, I think I'm going to be Tom, Harry and Dick in a minute.
Well, get below. And if anything happens, bring up what you can.
Oh, I've done that already.
If anything does happen, throw what you can overboard.
Women and children first.
Come on, you know what you're going to do.
Yes, we're going mixed bathing, aren't we?
Now, we're going to push the boat out.
Well, I'll have a Guinness.
I mean the lifeboat.
Oh. How far is it to land?
Oh, about 2 miles.
What, across?
No, down. Now, stand by, we're lowering the boats.
Now, what happens?
Well, we've got a raft. There's room for 5 on it.
Oh, well, you only want another 4 besides me. I wish I'd have gone to Cleethorpes instead of this business. Where are we?
Oh, somewhere near the South Sea Islands. They're inhabited by cannibals.
What a tangle I'm in. Where shall we land?
Or maybe the Persian Gulf, Cape Horn, the Sargasso Sea, Abyssinia.
Oh, I'll be seeing you sometime as well, yes. I am hungry. Have we got any food, lads?
No, we forgot to bring in the excitement.
Oh. Now listen, I've got a biscuit. You chaps, I've been in these scrapes for years. We might be floating about for a month.
Oh, it's impossible. I've got to be back at work in a fortnight.
Well, it's no use as dying of starvation. We'll toss for the biscuit. Whoever wins stays on the raft. The others, well, just slip over the side.
This is the most cheerful little gambling school I've ever been in my life.
Well, here's the biscuit. Let's toss.
Ed?
It's a tay.
Poor old Bill. Goodbye, Bill.
Goodbye, lad.
Ready, Sam?
Ed?
It's a tale.
Poor old Sam. Goodbye, Sam.
Goodbye, lad.
Now, George, are you ready? What is it?
Tile.
It's a head.
Poor old George. So long, George.
Goodbye, lad.
Now, Sandy. It's you and me.
Oh, I'm not a bit hungry, thank you. I'm all right.
Oh, well, come on. We might as well get it over.
It's a tale.
It is. Well, I'm off, Sandy. Goodbye.
Oh, so long, Frankenstein. Would you believe it? He's gone and he's got the biscuit in his pocket. Well, I think I'll have a sleep now.
Oh, great white chief. Thou hast landed on the island of beauteous maidens. Thou art welcome.
Art I?
Yes, there are 500 of these glorious nymphs. See, they dance in yonder glen. And I am getting old and feeble.
Oh, but you've been a bit of a lad in your time, though,
eh? Ere many moons I shall depart, and thou wilt be left alone.
And all these women of mine. Well, it's the best shipwreck I've ever been in. I'm going to start a nation of my own. I'm staying on this island. Nevermore I'll roam. Now my wife can burn my clothes. I shan't be going home.
We were all at sea with Sandy Powell for Les McPherson of Ashburton. From 1978. This is Bruce Duncan with Current Comment, produced by the Christian Recording Centre. It's on Falling in Love.
It's time for Current Comment. Here's a story about falling in love. If you've never read it, you certainly ought to. We need a breath of fresh air like this story in our sex-saturated society. It tells a beautiful story of a simple country girl who fell in love with the King of Israel. She was afraid that he would never even notice her, with all of the well-dressed and seductively made-up women of the court as her competition. But that is where she was wrong. The king fell for her precisely because she was not like all the rest. And there was the beginning of the most beautiful song of love that God has given the world. It's called the Song of Solomon. And at the end of the opening part of the song, there is a terribly important principle that young people desperately need today. It comes from the heart of a young woman who decided that in the area of sex and love and marriage, that she would do things God's way. She says, "I plead with you, O daughters of Jerusalem, that you will not arouse or awaken love until it pleases." What she is doing here is to ask her friends, the daughters of Jerusalem, to promise God that they will not do anything to awaken love or arouse love until it pleases. She doesn't want any temptation put in her way to run ahead of the ordinance of God for his people. You see, God's ordinance for marriage and sex are clearly set down in the Bible, right from the beginning of history. Way back in the Garden of Eden, we are told that a man is to leave his father and mother and then cleave to his wife, and then they are to stay together as long as God gives both of them life. Now, this young country girl in the Song of Solomon was probably backward and stupid by the standard of the fast chariot set of the city of Jerusalem. We think we can put sex first and then find love and marriage. But just look at the terrible harvest of sorrow and misery. The number of broken families is nothing less than alarming. And still there are multitudes of people who are too blind and too stupid to see that going against the ordinance of God is the way to destruction. That is why this supposedly unsophisticated country girl in the Song of Solomon is a part of the Bible. She had the wisdom to say, "God, you know what's good for me better than I myself. You created us, and so you know what is best for us." And so she made up her mind to do it God's way. First, the courtship, where she could get to know the man and his character and principles, and then marriage, and then sex, in the covenant bonds and freedom and security of marriage. If you are a young person, then maybe you are still open to the wisdom of God that was given to this young woman. Like a young woman who said the other day, "I've seen enough of the messed up lives of other people to know that there must be a better way than the way our culture is going." She was right. There is a better way. It's found in Jesus Christ and his word, the Bible. I hope that you'll be one of those who finds what this young woman found in the Song of Solomon, because if you do, then I can assure you that love and marriage and sex can be very beautiful indeed.
Was Bruce Duncan. This is the Four Preps giving a concert in the groove. Original members of the group: Bruce Belland, Ed Cobb, Glenn Larson, and Marv Ingram were all attending Hollywood High when they were spotted in a talent quest and contracted to the Capitol label. Between 1956 and 1964, the quartet charted with several songs, including 26 Miles and Big Man. This is especially for fan Blair Smith in Brindwa.
Miles across the sea, Santa Catalina is awaiting for me. Santa Catalina, the island of romance, 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 romance. Water all around it, everywhere. Tropical trees and the salty air. But for me, the thing that's awaiting there, romance. Seems so distant, 26 miles away, resting in the water serene. I'd work for anyone, even the Navy, who would float me to my island dream. 26 miles so near yet far, I'd swim with just some water wings and my guitar. I could leave the wings, but I'll need the guitar for romance, romance. Romance, romance. 26 miles across the sea, Santa Catalina is awaiting for me. Santa Catalina, the island of romance.
A tropical heaven out in the ocean, covered with trees and girls. If I have to swim, I'll do it forever, till I'm gazing on those island pearls.
40 kilometers in a leaky old boat, any old thing that'll stay afloat. When we arrive, we'll all promote romance, 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 romance. 26 miles across the sea, Santa Catalina is awaiting for me. Santa Catalina, the island of romance, 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 romance.
See me now. Oh well, I talked big yesterday, but boy, you ought to see me now. I bragged to all that love was strong, there'll never be another guy. But you said more when you whispered your goodbye.
Goodbye.
Well, I was a big man yesterday, but boy, you ought to see me now. I said that I was through with you, that I didn't need you anyhow. I said I didn't need you then, but boy, you ought to see me now. Those bragging words that you were mine, oh, that there was no doubt. Sound empty now since half my life's walked out.
Goodbye.
Well, half my life left me yesterday, and boy, you ought to see me now. If you will just forgive me, dear, I'll never break another vow. I broke so many yesterday, and boy, you ought to see me now. I couldn't see it yesterday, but now I know it's true. The only thing that made me big was
only see me now. If you would only see me now.
Big Man and 26 Miles, the Four Preps, known for their appearances on TV's Ozzie and Harriet in Concert in the Groove. And I have to say, I've always loved the piano intro to Big Man. Here is the original group to close with Down by the Station. In the 1980s, the Four Preps revived their career in a group which included two originals, Bruce Belland and Ed Cobb. Today, only Bruce Belland is still alive. We continue now our serial.
Please, put your arms around me. Kiss me.
What?
Kiss me.
That's how it began. A foggy night, a lurking peril, and a lovely girl who was too young to die.
All right now, Charlie. I know it's the middle of the night and I know I've got you up out of bed. But I have some questions that won't wait and I want some answers in a hurry.
Mike. What have you been telling the inspector, eh?
Look, nothing, Charlie. He's got some bee in his bonnet.
Come on, we're wasting time. Let's in, Charlie, and let's have some lights on.
You're sure it couldn't wait till morning, Inspector?
I'm sure.
Oh, well, you'd better come in, then.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
You too, Mike.
Charlie, look, I'm sorry about all this. I assure you,
It might be an idea if you didn't assure me of nothing, Mike. In fact, you'd better shut up.
Where's the light switch?
Oh, it's over here. I'll turn it on. You'd never find it. There we are. Like to sit down, Inspector?
Charlie, where's Jan Carter?
Oh?
Come on, you know who I mean, Chester's girlfriend.
Now look, wait a minute.
Keep quiet. Charlie, you know the girl I mean, where is she?
Inspector, you'll have to take it a little slower. I'm not so young as I was, you know.
You're as spry as you ever were. So don't try to play for time while you think up a few lies.
Jan Charlton, you said?
That's right, and I'm Inspector Carter.
Carter? Oh, that's not your name.
Okay, Charlie, get dressed.
Aye?
Down to headquarters. This looks like being a long session.
Oh, now, wait a bit. You're not going to drag me down to headquarters, are you, Inspector?
I am, unless you start talking and very fast.
I don't think I know how to talk fast. I'm a slow talker, I am.
Yeah, but you're a fast thinker, Charlie. Everyone knows that. So think about this lot for a second, too. Jan Carter, the girl Chester introduced you, is wanted by the police. Somehow or other, Chester has persuaded you to send her into hiding.
Who told you a thing like that?
It is a very serious offence to aid and abet an escaping criminal. It is another offence to hinder a police officer in the execution of his duty.
Oh, you don't have to tell me things like that, Inspector. I know all that.
Good. I just wanted to be sure you know what offences you're about to be charged with, unless you tell me what I want to know.
Blimey.
Well, which is it to be? Quick!
Mike, you see how it is.
Charlie,
I warned you about him. He's a deep one, I said. He's no fool, you know. He's smart.
Thank you, Charlie. When I'm dead, they can get you to deliver the eulogy. But for now, let's have the information.
Inexorable. That's what he is, Mike. Inexorable. He'll wear you down, he will.
Inspector, why are you bullying him like this? You're all wrong.
What I was wrong about was thinking I could trust you. Well, Charlie, which is it to be? A very long and dreary session at headquarters, or...
Oh, I'm sorry, Mark. I've done all I can. I can't afford to tangle with the gendarmerie, you know.
But you can't betray Jan. You mustn't do that.
I've got to tell him.
You wouldn't even tell me. Now, why do you have to tell him?
You are just an amateur, Mike. The inspector is a professional. Him and me, we understand each other. Even though we are on opposite sides of the fence, so to speak.
Where is she, Charlie? Where have you sent her?
I sent her to a place in Whitechapel. She was contact a man named Berridge.
What about?
Well, Berridge has a plane somewhere. See, he's a pilot. Has this plane for charter.
Plane? Where was he flying her to?
Oh, well...
Never mind. Just give me the address in Whitechapel.
What on earth?
What? Oh, hello, Eve. Did I wake you?
Oh, not at all. I've been sitting up all night just waiting for you to come in.
Huh? What'd you do that for?
You feeling all right, Mae?
No.
You must be ill if my heavy sarcasm is lost on you.
Well, I'm not ill. Just whipped, that's all.
Well, whatever your sorrows are, I can think of a few. Believe me, I wish you wouldn't come here to drown them.
I'm not drowning them. I'm having one drink, that's all.
What's happened? Mike, I may as well tell you, I'm getting a little tired of this. Almost every day you walk out of this apartment and every second night you walk back in, usually in the wee small hours. I refuse to get back on the merry-go-round with you.
It's all over, Eve.
What's all over? Us, you mean? Well, that's been coming a long time.
Not us. But... I'm talking about Jan Carter.
All over. You and Jan Carter.
She's going to be arrested. She was trying to leave the country, and Charlton's catching up with her. Probably picking her up right now.
Oh, well, that was more or less inevitable, sooner or later, wasn't it?
Another few hours and they'd never have caught her.
Let's be realistic, Mike. That's pretty much the kind of thing a girl like Jan Carter was intended for, don't you think?
What kind of thing?
Being picked up.
Eve. If you were a man, I'd...
If you were a man, I wouldn't have said it. I'd have had no reason to say it.
All right, go ahead. You're the last person I'd have expected to kick a man when he's down, but if that's the way you feel, go ahead. Makes no difference anyway. Oh, now it's funny. You really know how to ring the changes, don't you?
I was just thinking, if, say, 4 years ago, some fortune-teller had told us that one day we'd be standing here hating each other, we'd have thought it was the world's greatest joke.
Hating each other? Oh, I don't hate you, Eve.
No? Not even now? Not even after what I said about that girl?
No.
Well, I don't know whether that is good or not.
Do you hate me?
I don't know. But lately we've both been behaving as though... Well, we've said things that would be more understandable if we hated each other. I don't know how two people can behave like this towards one another unless hate is behind it.
I don't know what you're talking about.
That's been your trouble for quite a time. Why did you come here tonight, Mike? I told you our deal is off.
If you're talking about the arrangement we made for me to come back to you, the deal can't be off.
Why?
Well, I can't give you back that £1,000. I haven't got it.
I told you I didn't want it back.
You still don't want me either?
Not when it's so obvious you're for sale. No.
You don't pull any punches, do you? Well, thanks for the use of the hall.
You leaving?
Would you rather I hung around for you to kick me some more?
Are you going back to your flat?
Who knows? I just might take a rocket trip to Mars.
Mike, wait. Oh, for heaven's sake, with all the activity, you'd think it was broad daylight. Hello.
Mrs. Chester?
Who is this?
Inspector Charlton.
In heaven's name, Inspector, don't tell me you've taken to ringing my husband in the middle of the night as well as chasing him all day.
Is he there, please?
No.
Oh.
He was, but he left. Just a minute ago, as a matter of fact.
Do you know where he went?
No. I could try his flat in Long End Street, but I wouldn't guarantee he'll be there.
I see. How was he?
Oh, very jolly. He was talking about taking a trip to Mars.
Well, thanks, Mrs. Chester. Sorry to have disturbed you.
Are you going to look for him, Inspector?
My jurisdiction doesn't extend as far as Mars, Mrs. Chester. No, in view of what you've told me, I think I'll leave it till the morning. Good night.
Inspector, just a moment. Did you arrest Jan Cut? Inspector? Oh, dear.
Good morning. Sleep well?
You'll be delighted to hear I hardly slept at all. What do you want now?
Oh, do I smell coffee brewing? Oh, delicious. I do hope you're going to invite me to join you.
Look, haven't you done enough? What do you want of me now? Do you expect me to give you a statement that will incriminate Jan? Because you may as well know that...
Thanks very much. I will join you for a cup of coffee.
Are you busting into my home officially, Inspector?
And if it's not official...
I'm going to throw you right out again.
Well, that would be a pity.
I'd enjoy it.
Because then you'd never get to know about Jan Carter, would you?
What about Jan? Is she all right?
I'll be on tenterhooks wondering if you're going to throw me out until you close the door. Thank you. Now, how's that coffee coming along? Since you don't seem to care, I'll take a look at it. I'd hate it to spoil...
I asked you about Jan Carter, confound it.
You know, they say coffee boiled is coffee spoiled. Ah, but I see you have a percolator. That's very good. But
will you stop jabbering about nothing?
About nothing? Oh, I say, you shouldn't feel like that about good coffee. Do you know something? I've been at them to get us coffee at the department instead of tea, but the wheels of officialdom grind so slowly.
I'm not surprised. Probably everyone takes as long to answer a question as you do.
Oh, what question was that? Oh, yes, yes, Jan Carter.
Well, go on.
I don't think you're going to like this.
Like what? Get on with it.
You remember the address I got from Charlie Tinker, where he'd sent Jan Carter?
Yes, yes, the address in Whitechapel. She was to contact a man named Berridge.
A pilot who runs charter flights.
That's right. Well, was she there? Did you arrest her?
No.
No what?
No, we didn't arrest her, and no, she wasn't there.
What? Oh. She hadn't arrived. You were too early.
Mm-mm. We were too late.
They left for the plane?
Berridge hadn't left. He was there. But Jan Carter had disappeared. She'd been there. She was seen meeting Berridge. It's a pity she hadn't stayed.
Why, so you could arrest her for some fiddling nonsense about carrying contraband through customs? Inspector, she didn't know anything about that stuff she was carrying.
No, but she might have known something about Berridge.
Berridge?
You see, Berridge was dead when we got there. Very dead. Shot through the heart.
Thank you.
was some time before I could think of anything to say to the inspector. I must have looked pretty silly standing there gaping at him. Was it all as bad as it seemed? Had I lost the battle for the life of Jan Carter, the girl who was too young to die?
Before we go, another meeting with Groucho Marx, who was Coco in a TV production of The Mikado in 1960. With Groucho is Hi Everback and Martha Tilton.
Come with us, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, come with us to the Blue Ribbon General Hospital, where today we find that things are in a pretty mess. Why are they in a pretty mess? Well, they're in a pretty mess because in a moment of mental debility, the renowned diagnostician, Dr. Merrill, decided to try out a new assistant, intern G. Hackenbush Marx. At the moment, Dr. Marx is being eagerly summoned on the hospital's call system.
Calling Dr. Marx. You're wanted in room 14. Calling Dr. Marx. You're wanted in room 14.
You'll have to wait. I'm pressing my pants. You'll have to wait. I'm pressing my pants. You see, there's two pair of pants with this.
Patient has high fever and is burning up. Patient has high fever and is burning up.
So are my pants. So are my pants. That is all. Hackenbush.
Dr. Merrill, if you don't fire this insane intern, Marx, I'm going to resign as superintendent of nurses.
No, calm yourself, my dear. I'm only trying Marx out because there's a manpower shortage.
Well, with him around, there still is.
I think you're right. I'm going to give him one more chance to prove his ability. And if he fails today, out he goes. Now, who can that be? Come in, come in. Oh, hello, Marx.
Hello, Dr. Merrill. Pardon my rubber glove.
Oh, rubber gloves, huh? Did you just return from surgery?
No, I was just luxing out a pair of shorts.
There, you see, Dr. Merrill? Oh, this man will never make a great doctor.
Oh, but Miss Felton, I've been told that Marx comes from a family of great doctors.
That's right. Take my Uncle Hypo, for example. What a great doctor he was. Ah, what that man contributed to the field of medicine.
Well, what did your uncle contribute?
Well, for one thing, he discovered a cure for which there was no disease.
Oh. Just as I thought, this man is nothing but a quack.
A what?
A quack. Quack, quack.
Are you going to stick around or do you fly south for the winter?
Oh, frankly, Marx, I think Miss Felton is right. You strike me as being a nincompoop.
No, I'll strike you as I am. Tomorrow I'll strike you as a nincompoop. Say, just a second, Doctor. Did you call me a nincompoop?
Yes, I called you a nincompoop. What about it?
Nothing. How much do I owe you for the diagnosis?
Dr. Merrill, this man is impossible. Why, he has absolutely no conception of things medical.
Oh, come, Miss Overdose. Stop this childish chatter.
Childish chatter, is it? Dr. Marx, I'll have you know that other people seem to find my conversation quite interesting. In fact, many men have told me that I am a woman of the world.
Yes, and you said you look lumpy around the equator.
Now, look here, Marx. You can't talk to Miss Felton like that. Why, she's the head nurse of this hospital. Sir. Why, only a few years ago, her face appeared in every leading medical journal.
Oh, of course. I remember that. She was chosen Miss Poison Oak of 1929, wasn't she?
Well, of course.
Hello, Dr. Merrill speaking. Oh, just a minute. It's for you, Marx.
Hello? Oh, is that so? Well, there's nothing I can do about it now. Sorry. Goodbye.
What was it, Marx?
Oh, just a little routine trouble. Patient I operated on last week. I ran out of surgical thread, so I sewed him up with some knitting wool instead.
Well, what happened to him?
He took a bath, the wool shrunk, and now he walks sitting down.
Marx, you're mad.
No, I'm not. I'm not even angry. Shall we dance?
Miss Felton, send in the next patient. I'll see what this nitwit knows about medicine.
Here's the next patient, Dr. Merrill. Mr. Mel Blank Ferguson.
Oh, come in, Ferguson. Come in.
Please, the name is Ferguson. There's an R in it.
All right, Ferguson with an R in it. What seems to be wrong with him?
Look, Doc, there ain't nothing wrong with me. My wife made me come on account of I'm running a slight temperature.
Well, in that case, your wife was right.
But it ain't nothing. I bought a set of BVDs from a guy and I found out they were stolen goods.
Well, why should that give you a temperature?
Look, Doc, did you ever walk around in a hot union suit?
Your patient, Marx. See what you can do with him.
Very well. Ferguson, open your maw and say aw.
Well, what do you see, Marx? What do you see?
Looks like Congress is in session. Merrill, I think we'll have to operate.
Oh, but Mark's in operation. Are you sure it's absolutely necessary?
Definitely. Nice?
Yes.
Scalpel.
Scalpel.
Forceps.
Forceps.
Suture.
Suture.
And a bottle of Pabst Blue Ribbon beer. I knew I'd get that in somehow.
Hey, not so fast, Doc. Do you know how to operate?
Of course I do. I operated a bus for 6 years. Now, what do you want taken out? Your appendix, your tonsils, or would you prefer our special surprise package?
Well, I don't know. What do you take out best?
The nicest, but I operate differently there. All right, nurse. Get the patient ready.
Oh, just a minute, Marks. How do you know where to operate?
Why, that's easy. I'll just follow this X-ray picture.
Oh, you dope. That's not an X-ray picture. It's a road map.
I wondered why his liver was just outside of Peoria.
Saved by the bell. So long, Quack.
So long.
Hello. Just a minute. It's for you again, Marks.
Hello? Oh, is that so? I'm sorry, but it's too late now. Goodbye.
What is it, Marks?
Just a patient I operated on for an injured arm muscle. It was so bad, I had a graft on a cow's muscle, and I think I made a little mistake.
Why? What's the trouble?
Every time the patient shakes hands, his elbow starts giving milk.
Oh, I'm sorry to interrupt Dr. Merrill, but Mrs. Faye Van McKenzie is outside, and she insists she must see you at once.
Well, I'll let Marks examine that silly Van McKenzie woman. I think she's just a hypochondriac.
I don't think so, Doc. I think she just imagines she's sick.
Come in, Mrs. Van McKenzie. My assistant, Dr. Marks, will look you over.
Oh, Dr. Marks, are you going to look over me?
If you bend down a bit, I'll jump over you. Now, let's talk about your case, madam. When did you first discover you had the flu?
Oh, but I don't have the flu. I have sinus trouble.
Flu.
Sinus trouble?
Flu. It's gotta be flu. It's gotta be flu. It's gotta be flu. I wandered around and finally found...
Why does it have to be flu?
Well, I've only been here a short time, and I don't know how to treat anything else.
What?
No, no, wait a minute. I know how to treat bronchitis, too. You can have your choice, bronchitis or flu. That's all I can give you.
But I don't want either of them.
Fuss budget. Don't you know there's a war going on? You take what you can get these days.
Oh, but doctor, you don't understand. My limbs feel funny, and I'm shaking like a leaf.
You don't need a doctor, you need a tree surgeon.
That's it again from Steve Price and Paul Featherstone. We'll return on December 2nd. With us will be Chris McCabe and the Beach Boys, the Two Ronnies, and we'll have some further glimpses of this colourful world. Good luck with the Christmas shopping, and you take care. Here's hoping also that life will be looking up for you. Bye. Out of the Glow is an Ear Media presentation recorded at WebMad Christchurch.